Some of you may know that I grew up Roman Catholic, and my first 6 years of school were in the parochial school, primarily taught by the nuns. And we did have our share of the caricature of the nuns, the ones that, like the ruler, across your knuckles. My sister incurred their wrath more often than not. But I was a rule follower, so not me so much. But we had one nun in our school that was our teacher when I was in third grade, Sister Mary Philip. And she was not that caricature of the mean nun. She was the sweetest person, very kind, loving and faithful and intelligent. She was teaching us math one day, and I don't remember what we did, but it must have been really bad. She got tired of us, and she took her math textbook and banged it down on her desk and said, "Enough!" And she walked out, went across the hall to the nun's apartment, and she stayed there for about 20 minutes. And we sat absolutely still in the classroom, like, what are we supposed to do? And then she came back in, and everything was fine. But it got our attention. For Sister Mary Philip, not Sister Damien, that wouldn't have been that unusual, Sister Mary Philip to get angry and slam down a book and say, enough. Anytime someone who is truly loving and faithful gets angry and says that they have had enough, it should get our attention. We should quickly listen to what that person is saying. And we have a version of that experience in today's gospel with Jesus' outburst in the temple. This is a man who would literally love us to death. He would forgive those who killed him. So what could make a man like that, holy, loving, what could make him so angry that he would turn over tables and say, enough? Now, to be clear, the circumstances in this story are not what some people assume them to be. He was not upset that the money changers were there. That was something that people had to do in order to make their ritual sacrifices at the temple. So what they were doing per se was not wrong. It was just that the whole emphasis on sacrifice, on religious ritual sacrifice, made him angry and made him realize they're not getting it. They still think it's all about religious things when it's about taking care of one another. People were fulfilling their religious duty but not letting it change them. He became angry because people put so much time, money, energy into their temple sacrifices and so little time, energy, and money into loving one another as God asked them to do. Jesus was shouting at us to let go of the wisdom of the world. Has not God's wisdom made foolish the wisdom of the world? God's wisdom says we do not need religious sacrifices and rituals to earn God's love. God's wisdom says the sacrifice of the cross was enough, and so we are to live by accepting the grace of God. When Jesus would say at the end of his mortal life that he sought forgiveness for his executioners, when he said, "It is finished," he was telling us that no more ritual sacrifices were required, that the grace of God was enough. Now, the time of this story, of course, was a time when no one knew what would happen to Jesus. And so it's easy to read it and think, isn't this kind of unfair that they're not aware of how this story comes out and yet he's angry that they're not getting it? But these people did know Hosea. There is a verse which Jesus himself quoted, which said, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." These people did know Micah, who asked, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" They did know the law that Moses brought down the mountain, which clearly showed that God did not want religious posturing, but to treat the people around us with kindness and love. They did know Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Those words were so key to their religious formation, their spiritual formation, that they saw them as inscribed on their hearts. They recited them to their children. They wore them. They inscribed them on their gates and doorposts. And yet, generations later, in the temple, people were still trying to earn their way into God's presence by their own actions and religious sacrifices. Jesus does everything he can do. And at that point in his ministry, they still were not getting it. But even those of us who live on this side of the cross and resurrection don't get it. We keep thinking we have to earn something. It is no wonder that so many people in our culture today would describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. They have seen us do the religious things and then turn around and fail to do the spiritual things. They may be saying to us through their rejection of traditional religion that God asks us to seek something higher and to love one another, and that is enough. They may be saying by their absence in our churches that temple sacrifices mean nothing if we have not love. Jesus was telling us that religion is a waste of time if it is not motivated by the love of God and other people. No amount of temple worship will be enough if it does not change us into the kind of people who take care of our friends and our family and our neighbors and our strangers and even our enemies. Religion will never be enough. Jesus was saying in the temple that day and in our church in this day that the love of God defines us. It gives us worth. The love of God makes us capable of taking care of one another. We have known for a very long time what God wants of us. Not temple sacrifice, but love. All we need has been given to us, through the grace of God. Who wouldn't be frustrated to offer such a magnificent gift and to see it not be accepted? It is time for us to accept the grace of God, to realize that we cannot live by the wisdom of the world, but we are called to live by the foolishness of the cross. Jesus died so that we can be absolutely clear we don't have to measure up and earn. Jesus died for us. Maybe it's time to bang the book down on the desk and say,